I'd like to sing another hymn. You can stay sitting this time. Number 6 on our hymn sheet. God, in mercy, sent His Son. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. God in mercy sent His Son to our world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, 'twas for sinners Jesus died. John's Gospel, chapter 14.
to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John's gospel is a wonderful gospel. One of the most simple to understand, yet one of the most profound in its meaning. Here is a verse that stands out especially in this gospel. The Lord Jesus responding to a question from Thomas, one of his disciples, because he had said, I'm going away, and if I go, I'll come again to take you to myself. And Thomas asked, Lord, how can we know the way? We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus says, in those words of such simple truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, tremendous words of truth. I hope you're listening tonight. I know that oftentimes there's people who sit in meetings like this. Yeah, they're listening. They hear something with their ears, but they're really not hearing it in their heart. And I want to ask you tonight, please, whoever you are, wherever you're sitting in this room, to please open your ear to the words of the Lord Jesus. What I may say may be helpful, or maybe it's not helpful. But listen to what he says, because he's speaking. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to speak tonight about that word, the truth. It's a statement of what is, but it's more than that. Sometimes people, when you get involved in a discussion about truth, think you're talking about a doctrine or a philosophy or a religion. I want to say tonight that we're not here to talk about any such thing. We're going to talk, with the Lord's help, about a person. It's right down to where you are sitting. The God of the universe became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. You can know the truth tonight in the person of the Lord Jesus. No other religion in this world deals that frankly with the matter of truth. Mohammed never made such a statement, I am the truth. Buddha never made such a statement. No, only the Lord Jesus Christ made that statement. Let me tell it to you again. It's so vital. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We live in a day of a lot of humanistic relativism. In other words, people, instead of basing their thinking on God and on his word, because in John 17, the Lord Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we can say, in an in the most absolute way is the truth. You can know the truth. When we use that word absolute, we are talking about something that is beyond all appeal. It is the final word. There should be, if you really understand what the truth is, there should be no reasoning beyond that. That is the final word. You know what is good for you. You will simply, unreservedly accept it. Again, I want to make clear a statement here that what I say may be helpful or it may not. I've made mistakes before, and I can still make mistakes. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. What He says, listen to it. That's why we have our Bibles open in our laps, making sure that whoever is talking is talking according to what that book says, because that book is truth. I think it's so important for us to get that settled in our souls, because in our schools of this country, it is sad to see that people think that truth is just a matter of the way you think about it, the way it impresses you. That has nothing to do. For as much as I may ignore the truth, for as much as I may despise the truth, for as much as I may totally reject the truth, it changes the truth in nothing. The truth remains the truth. It's not a competition. And sometimes I've said it this way, the truth is the most exclusive thing in the whole universe. It excludes every other option. And that's why it's so important to know the truth. Again, I say the truth is not a mere philosophy that it takes some intelligent person to comprehend. No, the truth is a person that came into this world through the same channel that we came into this world. And you can know the truth in the person of the Lord Jesus. How? Through what He has written in His own precious word. We have four gospels that tell the story of the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, how He came into this world, how He was born of the Virgin Mary. He has no human father. For His God is His Father. He was born miraculously of a virgin. And He came into this world, God manifest in flesh. Tremendous to think about it. I'd like to go back to the first chapter of John's Gospel now to look at a few verses that deal with this matter of truth. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, this is beautiful. John bear witness, this is John the Baptist. John bear witness of Him in Christ, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Lord Jesus in the flesh was born after John the Baptist. But John the Baptist recognizes that even though He came in the flesh after Him, He was before Him. Who could that be except one who had His existence from all eternity? The Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God.
And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh yes, the law was a perfect moral standard that God gave in the Old Testament. But sorry to say it, no one ever measured up to that standard. But when the Lord Jesus came, it says here, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You're not going to get the full picture by looking at the law. The law is a perfect moral standard, I hear that say. But you're going to get the full picture by looking at the Lord Jesus. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So I love to think about it. As the Lord Jesus passed through this world in his pathway down here, you know, we tend to be given to extremes. Either we go to one side or to the other. Sometimes we're real gracious. And we're so gracious that we forget about the truth. And sometimes we're so right and truthful that we forget about grace. But in the Lord Jesus, there was the perfect balance. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful it is to know the Lord Jesus. And you know, we have a God who is gracious. But like we've been talking about today, there's a lot of preaching that goes on that says that God will allow you to live your sinful life and be saved after all. I want to say that that is not so. No. You want to know God? God is a God of grace. We read about it this morning. God is a God of all grace. And he's fully able to meet you in your need. But when you meet him, you must deal with the matter of truth. You cannot ignore what has taken place in your life. You can try to cover it up, but it will come out in the end. A verse that came to mind today in our meeting. Found back in the book of Numbers, it says, be sure your sin will find you out. You may have sins that you've never told anybody else about. You've kind of put them on the back burner in your conscience. You've inured your conscience not to face them. You know there's things that are not right in your life. But instead of getting them out into the light of God's presence, you are hiding them. Verses mentioned today, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And I want to encourage you, if you are here tonight and are still hiding things in your life, I don't know your life sufficiently to be able to tell you your hiding things. But you know, maybe there's things you put into the back and you don't want to face the truth of the matter. There was such a woman in the time that the Lord Jesus was here. In John's Gospel chapter 4, the Lord Jesus sat on the side of a well outside of a city. And as he sat there, here comes a poor woman of Samaria. She had come because she was thirsty. Then suggested she came at a time when there was not a lot of other people around. Because she had something that she wasn't very thankful for. It was a sad, sad story she had to tell. thought that she could keep it hidden a little bit. She didn't realize who that person was sitting on the edge of the well. And so, as she's about to draw water, Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." And she starts a religious type of conversation. "How is it that you are asking the Jews, the Samaritans, they don't have any dealings with each other?" And the Lord Jesus doesn't really answer her question. You know, you may have lots of questions. I want to tell you something. That if you just simply come to Jesus, your questions are going to be cleared up because He is the truth. And when you see things in your life in the light of the truth, it's going to be all clear. Remember the story of a young man who came to a gospel meeting, was not saved. He said to a brother as he came into the gospel hall, "Got lots of questions. Like somebody dancing." And the brother said, "That's fine, young man. Have a seat. We're going to listen to the gospel message, first of all, and then afterwards we'll take up the matter of your questions." And he heard the gospel, and during the course of the meeting, he opened his heart to receive the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And at the end of the meeting, the brother came up to him, "Young man," he said, "you have some questions." "Oh, you know what? I've left the Lord Jesus come in. And I really don't have any more questions now. They're all answered." That's the way it is when you really let the Lord Jesus into your life. The truth. And so, that poor woman, she sat there, she stood there looking at the Lord Jesus and speaking with him. He talked to her about living water that could satisfy her forever. She's interested. You have a heart that is longing for something? A heart that is not satisfied? The Lord Jesus wants to satisfy your heart. But then, as she sat there, or he sat there and talked with her, she says, "Give me this water." And he says, "Go call your husband. Come here. If you're going to deal with God, you cannot have secret reserve pockets that are dark in the recesses of your heart. You can't do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. God is light, and in the light, if you try to hide things, you only make yourself that much more conspicuous. If I stood up here tonight, and I held behind my back, underneath my sweater, some kind of a package that I didn't want anybody to know about, and I start seeing you look at me kind of suspiciously, I only make myself that much more conspicuous trying to hide things in your life. Don't try it. It won't work." And so that poor woman, she said a half-truth. She says, "I don't have any husband." And so the Lord Jesus, there was no contest here. The truth is the truth. It's not a matter of a contest, young people, between one religion and another, between one denomination and another. It's no context at all. The truth is the truth! And so the Lord Jesus simply made a statement. I think it's so wonderful how he did it in a way that didn't condemn her, but that let her know that she knew, that he knew every detail of her life. Absolutely nothing can you hide from our God. I don't know the story
of your life. There's a God that's looking right down at you tonight, and He knows every detail of your life. Lord Jesus said to her, "Thou hast had 5 husbands, and the one you have right now is at your house." That you said true.
That was the truth.
Pretty shameful history to have to admit to.
But that was the truth, that she really didn't want out in the open. What is it in your life that you don't want out in the open? You're afraid to bring it out into the light.
That hiding it is only interfering with your blessing. I want to tell you to come to Jesus. He is a merciful God.
But if you're going to deal with Him,
you're going to have to deal with Him in truth as well as in mercy. God will have mercy on us, but it has to be on the groundwork of truth.
And God sets the standards. People think today that they can set the standards.
Heard a statement, blasphemous statement of a man the other day. He said, "When I get before God, I'm going to tell God it's in your people." That's the moral, humanistic relativism of the day we live in, and it's affecting us. It's affecting young people. They think they have a right. I tell you what right I have. I tell you what right you have. Since we're all sinners before a holy God, we have a right to go to the lake of fire. That's the right you and I have. Beyond that, we really don't have any rights. We forfeit every right. We forfeit the right to life because the wages of sin is death. You can't avoid that. You cannot avoid that. That's the truth of the matter. That poor woman was so impressed when she met the Lord Jesus there that day. She left her water pot.
She went into the city. She said to those men in the city, I suppose some of them she had sinned with, she said, "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?"
The light had shined into her soul. And oh, it's wonderful when you don't have to hide anything any longer. What liberty it gives.
It says in the 8th chapter of this book, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's wonderful to see a person that doesn't try to have to hide things in their life any longer. They've gotten it out into the open. There's liberty in their conscience now.
Because they dealt with the matter squarely in the presence of a God who knows every single detail of their lives. Time is going fast. I want to go on to chapter 8. We have another woman that is brought before the Lord Jesus by the Pharisees. She also was a woman taken in a very serious immorality, in the sin of adultery. Sexual sin is very common in the day we live in. People justify it today because of their humanistic orientation. But I say adultery is sin that God condemns. Because it destroys. Sin destroys. Don't try to think that sin is fun. There is pleasure in sin, but it brings destruction and serious destruction. And so here this woman is taken and brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus. There they are in the temple, and Jesus is there. And the Pharisees come and describe, and they bring this woman taken in adultery. Verse 4, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery
in the very act, now Moses in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Isn't this wonderful? They wanted to accuse him, but you can't accuse the truth. If you accuse the truth, you only condemn yourself. And so here we are, their motives were not right. They brought her only to be able to accuse Jesus. And I don't know what kind of motives are at play in your heart for being here at this conference. Maybe some special person that you wanted to see. That's why you're here. Maybe some other reason is the reason you're here. But I want to say that the Lord Jesus knows those things that are at play in your soul. And you need to get into His presence. He knows it all. And she was guilty. Very. But if He was going to condemn her, as they suggested, He would have to condemn the whole lot of them. And so He just stoops down and writes on the ground. And they continued asking. And He says at the end of verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Then He stoops down and writes again on the ground. And they all, verse 9, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, without one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned it? All those that wanted to condemn her were gone. There was one left there. It was the blessed Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He was without sin. He, yes, had a right to condemn her. But He did not come to condemn. He came to forgive and to cleanse. And so He said, no, this. He said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go. Sin no more. He didn't make light of her sin. And dear young people, this sin of adultery, sexual sin, is not a light thing. We cannot make light of it. And the Lord Jesus didn't make light of it. For this woman's sin, He was going to have to pay with His own life? You think He made light of it? No. Go and sin no more. Oh, the preciousness of how the Lord Jesus may in every situation we go, case after case, through the life of the Lord Jesus here in John's Gospel, to see how He met it perfectly in grace and truth. But again, I want to say, I really believe that many times what is hindering blessing in the lives of those who are sitting here is that they don't want to be completely outright and truthful in the presence of a God who knows every detail of their lives. They're still covering up stuff. And it's hindering. I want to say to you, if you're here doing that tonight, don't do it any longer. You're only hindering yourself. And the blessing God wants to fill your heart with, you'll be so happy, so supremely happy, you won't be able to contain it. I guarantee you, I've experienced it in my own little way. But I know what it means when I hold things back and I don't want to get them out into the light, how it hinders, it hinders. Let's go on. In John's Gospel, chapter 18, the Lord Jesus in His pathway down here tells the truth. to all.
And he wasn't appreciated for it. And now he stands to be condemned. First of all before the high priest, and then Pilate, the Roman governor. Let's read verse 33 of chapter 18, I'm sorry. John chapter 18 and verse 33.
Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews?
Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee?
Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation, the chief priests, have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Are you hearing? Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Wasn't Pilate hearing his voice? What happened? Verse 38. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Did he hear what Jesus said? He heard with his ears, but he really didn't hear. He didn't know what the truth was. There was the truth standing right before him. But in the political system of that day, he was giving him a trial, and the voice of the people prevailed. People praise democracy. Sometimes the statement is made, the voice of the people, the voice of God. What a serious thing to say. Here the voice of the people prevailed. And what did Pilate do? Verse 1 of chapter 19, Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited the crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Jews answered him, We have a law. And by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? Verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. He condemned the truth. And in condemning the truth, he condemned not only himself, but the whole system. The whole world system is under condemnation now, because the truth of God came into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus. And it was condemned. Not only condemned, but given the most horrible death they could think of, crucifixion. Verse 17, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Oh, how terrible the history of this happened. You know, when man first placed his foot on the moon, President of the United States said, this is the greatest happening in the history of the world since the creation. He missed something. The greatest happening in the world since the creation is the cross, where truth was rejected, where truth was led out of the city of Jerusalem, that religious city, and nailed to a cross, and left to hang to die. The way God, a man treated their God in the person of the Lord Jesus. Is the Lord Jesus going to bear from the tree? Deny. Straight on to meet the bold question of sin in the presence of God. When the Lord Jesus was hanging there on that cross, man was shown to be all that he is in his own being. The religious people were the first ones to pass before the Lord Jesus to hurl insult into the face of their Savior God. After 3 hours of that treatment, the sun was darkened. And for 3 hours, there was darkness on that hill outside of Jerusalem, at Calvary, at Golgotha. And nobody could see what was happening. But it was then that Jesus was dealing in all truth with the matter of my sins, the matter of your sins. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. As he hung there on that cross, those things that I would be ashamed if anybody here knew that I had done, those things were laid on the spotless, sinless head of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he met those things in truth. He didn't hide them. They were laid on him, and God poured out all his righteous judgment that would have crushed the world to hell. It fell on Jesus, that judgment for my sins. He bore it all. He paid the price in full. Before he died, he said, it is finished. All the judgment that was rightly against me, he dealt with it in the truth of the matter. Nothing was hidden there. He paid his price in full. Jesus died. Awful to think that our Creator God hung on that cross. And as a man gave up his life in the price of our redemption, the soldier came up that hill and pierced his side, and out came blood and water. The only thing that will cover sin from the eye of an all-seeing God is the blood of Jesus Christ. It says in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Friend, It is so important that you get the truth of the matter of your sins out in the presence of God. Don't put it off. Please, I plead with you to deal straight on with the matter of your sins.
God dealt with the matter in the person of the Lord Jesus of sins at the cross of Calvary. The work is done. If God had not been satisfied with what Jesus did on that cross, he would have never raised him from the dead. But Jesus rose again from the dead the third day, and he sits there in the glory of God at God's right hand. Now, the testimony to the fact that the work is done, forever done. Praise God. I'm saved because Jesus died and rose again and lived at God's right hand. I want to go before we close to a very serious matter that I want to touch briefly on before we close. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's a matter of truth as well. Talking about another person here. This person is called, in verse 3, the man of sin, the son of perdition. In other scriptures, he's called what we believe to be the Antichrist. And the Apostle Paul is writing here to these believers, telling them about this person who is coming. And he says there's something that's hindering still. Verse 6, and now you know what withholds us that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That word letteth is really hindereth. He that now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Just want to set this warning before you before we finish this evening. You've heard about the truth. I'm not the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Perhaps you're here, and you still have a reserve. You still haven't unreservedly come to the Lord Jesus to accept him as your Savior. I want to warn you that you are in line to be deceived. I was amazed the other day. My wife was reading a book about the Second World War. And what happened over in Germany, in the Holocaust, what we know to be the Holocaust. And in the book it said that 20% of Americans no longer believed that there was any such thing as a Holocaust in Europe. What has happened to our country? You know what's happened? The truth and lies are we presenting in the media in such a way that people don't discern between what's true and what's false any longer. They don't know. They see the news, and then they see a program that has nothing to do with truth, and they don't distinguish any longer. Young people
I mean, it is extremely serious. We're living in the days when the mystery of iniquity already works, and it's going towards an end one of these days. That which hinders is going to be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. And he's the one who, it says in verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and mighty wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. You know what the truth is? The Lord Jesus has been presented not only tonight, but many other times when you've heard the message of the gospel, and you do not accept it. You still have that reserve. How serious. I'm going to tell you, you will believe a lie if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is here tonight, and he's saying those simple words that are so easy to understand. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is amazing to me how people are so easily led to believe a lie. Down in Bolivia, just tell the story before we close. There was a man that appeared in the city of Santa Cruz while we lived there. He came under an evangelical banner that is called in the Spanish, Christ is the Answer. Pretty good saying, I would say. And they told me that when he first came, he preached something of the gospel as we have it in the Word of God. But it wasn't long before there was a change in his message. And he changed his message to say, I am Christ. His name is Julio Alvarado. And since his name begins with a J, like Jesus' name, you will see signs around Bolivia with a big circle with a big J in the middle of it. And around the side it says, Christ is the Answer. But that J does not stand for Jesus. That J stands for Julio. And he actually stands up in front of his congregation, and they change the hymns of worship that are directed to the Lord Jesus, and puts his own name in there, and he receives worship from his people that follow him. I can't believe, when I've heard of the terrible things he has done in the city of Santa Cruz, the immoral lifestyle he lives, the swindling of poor innocent people that he takes place, that he does. Can't believe that people follow him. One day a young man came into our bookstore in Montero. I happened to be there at the time, and he told us that he was a follower of this man. And I tried to warn him. I said, be careful. The scripture says that when the true Christ comes from heaven, every eye shall see him. And I haven't laid eyes on this man you're not telling me about. Scripture says that there's going to be false Christ. He listened to me for a while, and then he shook his head and said, just like it was the first time Jesus came, and you won't accept him. The more you come against him, the more I adore him. He turned around and walked out of the store. Spirit of iniquity already works. A young man, intelligent graduate of university, that's what he does. I warn you, again, if you don't simply accept the truth as it is in Jesus, you will be deceived. Please, tonight, before we close, open your Let this word penetrate right down into your hearts. It comes from the living God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.